You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are a mere 30 minutes away from Game 2 of the Major League Baseball season. It's just so odd. It's so quirky, and I like it. I bet there are many people out there who don't realize the baseball season is already underway, and Game 2 between the Mariners and the A's that will start at 2:30 Pacific time, 2:30 Seattle and Oakland time. It'll once again be at the tail end of our show, which is cool, in the Tokyo Dome. If you missed my conversation with David Sampson, not only CBS Sports HQ analyst, but former president of the Miami Marlins and friend of Ichiro. We had a chance to catch up with him from Japan in the first hour of our show. That was really cool. It's the first time I've ever had a guest live from Japan. So we've had guests live from Australia and from other parts of Europe before, across the pond, but we've never had a guest from Tokyo. So this was a first for us, and he was fantastic as always. So I hope that you'll check that out on the podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com. We are also hours away. I mean, seven. That's it. We're down to 7 hours until the big dance hits the dance floor. It's that pressure that finally helped me to push through and finish my bracket. I've done it. So before the end of the show, Chris and I will do a special video for the big reveal. We are not the same. First of all, Chris filled out his bracket moments after the bracket came out. I just waited until now. I'm not kidding you. I haven't even picked my champion yet. I've got my final four, but I haven't picked the champ yet, nor have I put in the final score tiebreaker. So I'm not done waiting till the last minute. I don't like my final four, but it is what it is. And so if you haven't yet joined the After Hours Bracket Challenge, you still have a few hours to go. Find it on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's pinned to the top of that page. And also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And we reposted it on Facebook so that you would have the opportunity to see it again swimming on your information superhighway. Before we get to basketball, as some of you were listening as we hit the top of the hour and we were sort of giving you the numbers for the Le'Veon Bell contract versus the Todd Gurley contract. Gurley's deal that he signed in the summer of 2018 was a 4-year, $60 million contract. It includes $45 million in guaranteed money and a signing bonus of $20 million. So total guaranteed money, $65 million. That's why there were some in the business world, some in the football business world, who thought that was outrageous. It's a lot of money for a running back, though he's extremely versatile. When you compare it to Le'Veon Bell's deal, and this is what our caller was attempting to say, Bell has $25 million in guaranteed money in his contract with the Jets, plus an $8 million signing bonus. Okay, so that's where the number 33 came from. But that's roughly half of Todd Gurley's guaranteed money. So he did not get the contract he wanted. Regardless of what he tells you, he did not get the contract that he wanted. He wanted quarterback money. And in lieu of that, Todd Gurley money. And I'm going to continue to balk at the idea that he could have one or the other. He could have had the $14.5 million. He could have had a contract similar to the one he signed with the Jets after taking the $14.5 million under the franchise tag with the Steelers. And you know what? That would have put him a lot closer to Todd Gurley money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The reason we're talking about Le'Veon Bell is because he did an extensive interview with Jenny Vrentis of SI. It's a video that you can see on SI.com or all over the internet. And there were some pretty telling responses from him as she asked him about his relationship with the New York Jets, why he signed there. I really don't understand his answer about the holdout. and how it got to the point where he was going to skip the entire season. It doesn't make much sense to me. But he also took aim at Ben Roethlisberger. Now, he wasn't quite as pointed as Antonio Brown, but he did take his parting shots. He didn't say it was all Ben's fault, but he did say that there were issues there and that Ben was part of the reason why he wanted to leave. Not the whole reason, but part of the reason. So we'll let you hear Le'Veon Bell coming up in 15 minutes so you can join the conversation as well. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We had some tension in the NBA last night. Not only did we have an overtime game between Toronto and Oklahoma City, and Billy Donovan makes a good point, the Thunder continue to play from behind. That's not good practice. You know what else is not good practice? Is James Harden taking 39 shots over 46 minutes and the Rockets coming up short.
5 on the game clock. Conley, 3-2. Conley, elbow jumper, air ball, grab by Valanciunas. He's fouled! With a tenth of a second remaining. They call a foul on Clint Capella. Oh, what a break for the Grizz. Valanciunas, free throw's good. 126, 125, and Jamie Bickerstaff is saying, miss it. Just miss it. Throw it off the rim. Miss it. A tenth of a second left. You miss it. Valanciunas sets, fires it. He did it. That's it. Zeros on the clock. Streamers from the rafters. Grizzlies win it tonight by one. 126, 125 in overtime.
That's Eric Castleton on the Grizzlies radio network. Probably the biggest win of the year for the Grizzlies, who, as you know, have had defections and trades and their philosophy now. Who knows if they can attract any big-name free agents, but they're definitely in some type of a rebuilding mode. I'm not really sure where it's going yet, but it's been a tough season for them. However, despite 57 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds from James Harden, 18 of 39 from the field, and then another 12 for 12 from the charity stripe, the Rockets lose. We've talked about this model not being sustainable. And I get it. He's the best player on the court. But 39 shots, it's not team basketball, number one. And it's not a recipe for them becoming the best of the best in the West. That's what we saw a good portion of last season. It's why he's the reigning MVP. But it doesn't get you any closer to the ultimate goal. Now, I know it's not been like that for the most part since Chris Paul came back, but this still raises a red flag for me. Now, Houston's definitely improved its position in the Western Conference standings, and it's a total crapshoot now in these final 10, 11 games. Houston is up to third. They'd won 8 of their last 10. And as we've talked about before, this is just nutso. The entire top 8 in the West, so the entire playoff picture in the Western Conference, 7 games total separating 8 teams. That's insane. And it makes for great drama down the stretch. So you're likely to see more teams elbowing each other out for position. The Warriors and the Nuggets right now are kind of doing their own battle at the top of the West. But then Rockets through Thunder. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 separated by 3 games. What? 6 teams separated by 3 games. Yowzers. Talk about madness. Oh, the madness. I mean, the Rockets, they've played better. They're healthier now. They've got some guys who can play defense, so that's improved. But this is not what they need to do on a night-in and night-out basis. It's not how they got to the point at which they're third in the West. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we had in the East the Celtics and the Sixers. So a bit of a rematch of last year's second-round playoff series, the Eastern Conference semifinals. It was the only time, last night, was the only time that the Sixers beat the Celtics in the regular season. But certainly the fact that it's late in the regular season and that all five of their guys, the starters, were in double figures, that Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler are now firmly established in that starting rotation, that Joel Embiid was a beast and is a beast when he's healthy, 37 points, 22 rebounds, and rebounding is not a strength of the Celtics. But this type of a series and a game in which the Celtics were up for a good portion went down to the wire. It's the kind of game that gives us a taste of what's to come in the playoffs. And there was a moment that maybe belied the edginess. We're getting closer to the postseason. The tensions are high. Now, I don't think it excuses Marcus Smart for losing his temper and shoving Joel Embiid to the ground. But it is so true, whether you're on the playground, whether you're on the NBA hard court, that the refs or the teachers only ever see the second, the second hit, the second punch. They only ever see the retaliation. They never see what started it. So Joel Embiid setting a screen. He throws an elbow into Marcus Smart. Smart kind of loses his balance. Embiid says something to him, though I don't know what he said, and then turns his back. So Smart gets up and shoves him from behind like two kids on a playground. And so Embiid goes sprawling. The two have to be separated. Marcus is kicked out of the game for obvious reasons. And we got the Joel Embiid comment after the fact, which again just makes me salivate for this type of a series in the playoffs.
Obviously, I was frustrated because it was a cheap shot. I didn't see it coming, caught me off guard. But I don't really want to talk about him, so I don't care.
He calls it a cheap shot and then says, I didn't see it coming. Well, duh, you had your back turned. Of course, you didn't see it coming. But you fired your cheap shot and then turned your back, which probably isn't good in any venue, NBA or on the street, either way. But I mean, it was a dumb move by Marcus Smart. They needed him out there on the court, which is what Brad Stevens said after the fact. So it just seemed to emphasize the fact that we're getting so close to the end of the regular season and the intensity, the sense of urgency, it's there. And if you don't know this already, national champ crowned in men's basketball and then women's basketball in two consecutive nights, right into the puck drop on the Stanley Cup playoffs, and 3 days later, the NBA playoffs. Oh, and it's Masters weekend, too. What? Plus, Major League Baseball will be back in the United States for the other opening days. But the opening series continues. Whether or not you know it or watch it, it's taking place in Tokyo again this morning. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Le'Veon Bell, taking the time and using his energy to sort of tell you about his holdout from last season, but also why he has no regrets to sit out, why he feels welcome in New York more than he ever did in Pittsburgh, wowzers, and the issues with Ben Roethlisberger. That's coming up after hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Thanks so much for tuning in to our show on what is a Thursday morning. Game number two in Major League Baseball and March Madness. The mayhem is about to begin in full, coming up in mere hours, which means no sleep, but I'm not sure I can imagine two better days in sports. Maybe the divisional weekend of the NFL postseason. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the NFL, Le'Veon Bell is airing his grievances, some of them, but he's also happy, he says, with his choices. He's got no regrets. He's thrilled to be with the New York Jets. He did a sit-down interview with Jenny Vrentis of SI, and we were able to access some of the audio. So we'll just run through it and let him tell you how he feels. Right now, perfecto.
I feel amazing. But to be honest, I feel like the decision I made and all the layover and the long sitting out, it all paid off in the long run, and I'm happy where I am today.
So he has no regrets, says he feels amazing, physically, mentally, got what he wanted, right? But what was the goal exactly of the holdout? If we know he doesn't regret it, the shark is very impatient. I mean, sometimes I bite and growl people before I should, too. So Le'Veon Bell says that he has no regrets, right? But did he get what he wanted in terms of the money, in terms of the contract? What about leaving that money on the table? This is all part of the total package.
Ultimately, I wanted to get a long-term contract and, you know, be happy, you know, go somewhere where I'm happy and where I feel fit and feel valued, you know, where I want to get, you know, guaranteed security over the course of my contract and playing football. So ultimately, you know, I got that.
All right, so equating value and long-term security with the money. Well, that's definitely how a lot of professional athletes look at it. If you give me the guaranteed money, then I know you value me long-term. It is a business, though. It is a dance of sorts. And if that's what you value, then eventually you will not feel valued anymore because that guaranteed money will run out. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What about New York makes it a better situation than what he had in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, when I first got to Pittsburgh, I didn't get that feeling. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying they greeted me wrong or indifferent, but it's like when I got to New York with the Jets and things like that, just talking, like, even like the teammates, it's like I felt like welcome. I felt it. You can sense when people genuinely want you around, when they genuinely want you here, they genuinely want you to be good. They genuinely want you to be, you know, we want you to be good here. It's like the vibe I got, you know. But when I first got drafted to Pittsburgh, I wasn't thinking like, oh, this is a bad spot. Well, no, I was thinking, I was happy. I got drafted to Pittsburgh, I was happy. I'm thinking this is how it's supposed to be. I'm thinking this is how it's supposed to be. I didn't know because I was a 20-year-old, got drafted, came here. So I'm thinking, like, when they're talking to me, I'm thinking this is how it's supposed to be. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to talk to me like that.
Now, he doesn't specify exactly how he was being talked to. But the part about the Jets wanting him to succeed, of course the Steelers wanted him to succeed. Their success was very closely tied to his success. So that one made me scratch my head a little bit. I'm not exactly sure what he's talking about. And again, he didn't really elaborate on how the Steelers talked to him versus how the Jets are now welcoming him with open arms. I mean, different locker rooms have different styles, different front offices. It's like you and I, different bosses have different ways of communicating. We had a boss that left here middle of last year, and he was gruff. I mean, if you didn't hear from him, that was generally validation of your work. If you were expecting compliments, well, you're going to wait a really long time. Is this just not his style? And so I understand that styles are different, but I absolutely do not believe the Steelers wanted him to fail. That was the case. Why even have him on the roster? That's throwing money away. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So the process that led to him ultimately sitting out the entire year. I wish I could tell you I understood what he's saying here, but I don't.
First, I was literally just thinking, like, I want to play camp. Because camp and OTAs, I haven't went to camp or OTAs, so I'm just, like, preserving my body. I'm like, I'm not playing. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, when week one come, I'm going to come, but things kind of laid up the week one, so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play week one. Things after even week one, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like certain buildup, so it's not making me feel comfortable. Like, over the course of the time, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, I can't even remember, like, little details or little things that was happening, but just leading up to week one or when they was in camp and I wasn't and I was training, just leading up to that, it's kind of like, I'm cool. And then week two, come on, I'm cool. And then it got to a point where it's like, regardless what they say, I'm gonna come back after the bye week. I'm gonna bite the bullet. I'm gonna come back after the bye week.
But he didn't. Yeah, that's a very meandering way of telling his story. But initially, essentially what I take away from it initially is he was just gonna skip camp. and then he was going to return. But then week one goes by, week two goes by. He kind of decides this is all right. I'm good with missing some time. Then they get to the bye week. He thinks he's going to come back after the bye week, but did an about face. And according to his conversation with SI, it was more about realizing, at least this is what he said, that the Steelers weren't going to tag him again or couldn't. He thought they couldn't tag him again, him and his agent. And so he decided he would wait until free agency. Now, the Steelers could have fought that. There was some talk that they might actually try to apply the franchise tag again because he never signed the franchise tag in 2018. So we don't really know if an arbitrator would have been called in, who would have won that fight. But there was a fight brewing if the Steelers had forced the issue. I know you all want to hear what he has to say about Ben Roethlisberger. He said Ben is not the reason why he left Pittsburgh. It wasn't the total reason, but it definitely had something to do with it.
That was part of it. That's part of it. It wasn't the factor. Mm-hmm. It was a factor. Yes, it was a factor.
Your relationship with him.
Yeah, it was a factor.
And you wanted it to be different in a way.
Yes.
How would you have liked it to be different?
I'd have liked it to be more open, more genuine, mm-hmm. more real, more, you know what I'm saying? Like we're friends. Like we're teammates.
Okay. So it's not all Ben's fault, but that's part of the reason why he wanted to leave. I feel like it's super easy for Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell to take shots now that they have their guaranteed money and they've contracts somewhere else. Ultimately, they're responsible for their own decisions. Did Ben exacerbate the situation at times? Sure. Is his leadership style abrasive at times? Absolutely. Does he have a big ego? Uh-huh. But can he make the decisions for Bell and Brown? Nope. They're grown men who would tell you that they made these choices, except it's a little bit easier to point to somebody else and say, he made me do it. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. If you're looking for the link to the After Hours Bracket Challenge, well, welcome to my world where we procrastinate until the final second. But mine is done. We have Darwin Zook in studio. You look a little sleepy. This is not typical of your schedule.
No, it's a little different. I'll get the coffee, the second cup going.
Are you going to keep your eyes open this entire update?
No, I'm going to try and do it with my eyes closed, a new thing.
It's bright here.
Yeah.
It's bright in here. I mean, we could turn on the TV lights for you and see how that works.
That would help. I like to slowly work my way into the day.
It might blind you. Did you do a bracket? I know you're a big basketball fan.
I haven't had time yet, but I still have about seven hours. So I got a little time.
In between updates?
No, yeah. Well, maybe towards the end of the day, towards the end of the morning.
You don't have that much longer, man.
I know. I'll have time. I'll get it done.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I know you guys don't work real hard in there.
Sometimes
I see Jay Berman FaceTiming and watching videos on YouTube. So
we run back and forth. It's a sprint back and forth here to there just for you guys.
Woo! Well, it's good to see you again.
Likewise.
Welcome. Happy March Madness.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Driving the baseline, and he scores it off the glass. Half a step on Douglas. 3-point lead for North Dakota State. 73-70. Lavelle Moten calls a timeout for North Carolina Central. Tyson Ward has been elite tonight for the Bison. 21 points. Samuelson rolls it to Ward again on the baseline, and again guarded by Douglas. Looping into the lane, falling away. He banks it home again. Tyson Ward gets the best of Douglas. 75-70 North Dakota State. Douglas, NBA range three from the right wing. No good. Air ball right into the hands of Vinny Shaheed, and North Dakota State advances from Dayton to take on the top overall seed in the NCAA tournament, the Duke Blue Devils.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I think it's amazing that a 16 seed now has a tournament victory under its belt and that the North Dakota State Bison will move on to Duke in the East region. Why not? It's the stage. It's March Madness. It's the stage. It's the favored opponent. You're going to have more eyeballs on you in this game than maybe you have combined in your entire college career. So I say bring it. Congratulations to North Dakota State winning one of Wednesday night's games at the first four. And so now we're down to 64. Ted Emmerich with the calls on the Westwood One radio network. This is pretty amazing. The Bison shot 58% in the first half. And then they did end up getting, they actually lost the lead in the second half, but they did end up getting a nice push. And for Tyson Ward, again, as you can imagine, this is the stuff that dreams are made of. He scores 23 in a game that's nationally televised with their tournament lives on the line and earns a date with Duke.
It's a dream come true. You know, you're that 10-year-old kid filling out your brackets and thinking about, hey, I want to be here one day. And then you get a win in there, and it just adds to the pot, and you just feel so great.
It hurts, you know, just like every other loss. But this one is probably a little bit more because it is my last one, you know. So I just wanted to leave it all out there, which I did.
So you get the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Tyson Ward with the 23 points, calling it a dream come true. And then Zachary Douglas, the senior for North Carolina Central, you know, pointing out that this is, it's more painful when it's your last loss and when you go out like this. And it's not a great time. Nobody reminds them in the locker room that every season ends with a loss except for those champs that are still standing and that are the one shining moment at the end of the run. But it is difficult when you have this opportunity in Dayton. You feel like you have a game that you can win. It's handed to you. You don't start with a one seed. And to not have the opportunity to play into the full field certainly is difficult. And for those of you who got to know Lavelle Moton over the last couple of days, so he not only was exchanging tweets with Chris Paul on Wednesday before the game tipped off, but he was also a guest on Jim Rome, wasn't he? He was a guest on CBS Sports Radio, and just really passionate. And the emotion was there regardless of win or loss, but he was asked about his seniors, like Zachary Douglas, after the game.
They're part of our family, man. And for it to be over with, it hurts, it stings. And that's a harsh reality that we never wanted to embrace. But here it is, and I'm extremely proud of them for the year that they had.
Blood, sweat, tears all poured into it. And at some point, it comes to an end. And I just am always so impressed by the way that these young men, especially the ones that we haven't heard of, smaller schools, mid-majors, by the way they carry themselves, by the way they represent their schools, by how they embrace the opportunity. And they don't take it for granted. You've got your blue bloods. You've got your North Carolinas, your Dukes. You've got your, even Gonzaga's now, an elite basketball program. Virginia in there as well. Kentucky, Michigan, Michigan State, Villanova even. But it means so much. I don't want to say it means more because it's different kids every few years, even for the blue bloods. But it means so much to a school and to a program to have worked for years and years and maybe not taste the NCAA tournament for 10 years or 20 years. In the case of Arizona State, who played in the second game and held off a challenge from St. John's. I mean, St. John's is going to kick themselves for the rest of 2019 until they get a chance to get back on the court again because they had opportunities. They so many unforced errors, so many bad turnovers, and a lot of fouls. But for Arizona State, they haven't had a win in the NCAA tournament in 10 years. And so, and it's actually the first for Bobby Hurley as a coach, which is kind of fun when you think about his previous life as a player at Duke and a two-time champion. But the schools that don't get there every year, the schools that don't ever take it for granted, it's not a rite of passage for their seniors. Some of them never experience it. I always love how they embrace it. And of course, you want to see these young men and young women when the women's tournament starts playing their best basketball and rising to the occasion. That's what brings out the madness is when you throw all these teams into one big cauldron and you pit them against one another, and it's hearts and it's smarts and it's preparation and it's coaching and it's matchups and it's work ethic and it's desire, and sometimes it's the crazy shots that you never expected, but that makes for the best tournament. So it's funny, we meaning Chris and I, just put together a video. So we wanted to reveal our final four to you. And we've done it with a video on Twitter and Facebook. So I didn't even retweet it yet. I will. But it's on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. You'll notice I'm hiding in the background with my bracket. Chris is bold and brash with his bracket that he filled out 4 minutes after the field of 68 was revealed. And so we've now given you our final four. Now, we're pretty chalky. I'll give you that. But we do not have the same champion. And we've finally given you our four. It was supposed to be Dave with us, but Dave is still sick. Oh, shoot. I'm kind of worried. Do you think we should send him some text messages, blow up his phone, and remind him that he's going to miss the bracket challenge if he doesn't get out of bed and take some medicine and fill out his bracket?
I'm on him.
Okay, good. We want to be able to make fun of him when his bracket is awful, when our brackets are awful. Anyway, so the madness doesn't always mean a double figure seed in the final four. Sometimes the madness in the earlier rounds leads to chalk in the later rounds. And generally you're more apt to win your bracket challenge if you stick close to the top seeds. And I don't even like my final four. I did pick a bunch of upsets, but I ended up with names that you know in the final four in Minneapolis. So we'll see. I hope I'm wrong, because I like it more when it's schools like Loyola Chicago or like UMBC that are capturing headlines. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. They are underway in Tokyo. Bottom of the first, no score between the Mariners and the A's. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I saw that this is the last appearance for Ichiro. We'll see. They love him there. They keep giving me these crazy introductions, right? Even if he's not going to be out there for longer than an inning or two, even if he's not going to play at all, the fun part is just to see the reaction. If you missed my conversation with David Sampson, who's actually in Tokyo and is the former president of the Marlins, is a friend of Ichiro's, but is covering the series in Japan. It was great to have a guest from Japan. We had no issues whatsoever with his phone. In fact, that interview was clearer than some interviews that we have from the next town over. It was pretty amazing. There was very little delay. I mean, maybe a midge a second. That's not even a thing. It's a nanosecond, which is not a thing either, but you get my point. It was a very slight delay, and he was great in describing how the fans in Japan are reacting to Ichiro. It's not craziness like you might get at a soccer match or like you might get at, say, Arrowhead Stadium. No, it's more polite. It's more reverent almost because of what Ichiro means to that culture and to the Japanese baseball fans. And so we had a wide-ranging discussion. We didn't just talk about Ichiro. We also talked, although I did ask him, how good is Ichiro's English? Because sometimes I feel like he's joshing us. And he definitely knows English. And so I had to get to the bottom of that. But I'm not going to spoil it. You have to listen to David. We also talked about the contract with Mike Trout. And we talked about who might be the next guy to break the record. And we specifically addressed Mookie Betts. So those of you who are Red Sox fans who believe that Mookie, whenever it is that he signs a new deal, whether it's with the Red Sox or he goes free agency and goes somewhere else, regardless, we addressed the case of Mookie Betts and whether or not his contract should or will eclipse what the Angels just gave Mike Trout in terms of his extension. But the total value of the next 12 years for Trout, as you know, is $426.5 million. Wowzers. It's 855-212-4227. I am really looking forward to today's games. We were talking about this earlier, and it's hard to find two other days on the sports calendar back-to-back that are as captivating and entertaining, but just appointment television, or whether you happen to be going to games in person, that's cool too. I'm trying to think. I know the last time I went to NCAA tournament games, it was the Final Four in Houston. The best ending of any sporting event I've ever seen in person. And I won't ever forget the emotion, the noise, the cacophony of sound that came thundering down from the top of NRG Stadium. I mean, it was phenomenal. And just that moment where you felt like everything was suspended, time was suspended, and then boom, the shot goes through the hoop and Villanova wins the championship. And the noise was unforgettable. So I haven't been to a first or second round site in quite a while, not since I worked in Oklahoma. But the games, the slate that we've got for today and tomorrow, these are two of the highly anticipated days of the entire year. So I'm sure we both have friends that take days off, these days off. Actually, it's kind of funny. I won't name him, but we have an anchor here at work who said it's his tradition to take the day off. And I said, why? Because you want to watch the games or because you don't want to have to talk about all the games? He was like, the latter. He takes off because it's a lot to keep straight. I mean, it is. It's craziness how much is going on all at the same time. And if you work in the evening, you're not only passing along former, like, scores of games that have already been played, but you're also trying to keep up with a bunch of games that are still ongoing. So it is crazy. I'll give you that. I like that kind of craziness. I'm not going to sit here and give you scores of every game come tonight's show. We get to focus on the ones that, you know, that caught our attention, maybe the crazier finishes, the ones where there might be some controversy. We like the mayhem. We like the madness. But yeah, it's kind of funny. So I have friends who take off and go to Vegas. I have friends who take off and go spend the day at a bar with other groups of friends and bet. And then I have an anchor friend, apparently, who wants nothing to do with it. So check out our video on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, and then also on our Facebook page, and we revealed our Final Four. But the schedule is about to begin in all of its glory in mere hours. So just over 6 hours away in the early round of games, you've got a 7-10 with Louisville and Minnesota. LSU and Yale, so always fun to see teams that haven't been there in a long time, like the Yale Bulldogs. You got one of those vaunted 5-12 matchups that comes up in this first window, as well as a 4-13. LSU is a 3 seed, so LSU is the second game to tip off, but then you do have Michigan State early in the afternoon as well, coming up from Des Moines, Iowa. So there's something for everything. You've got the blue, something for everyone, I meant to say. You've got the blue bloods like Michigan State and Kansas, Louisville in there, but you've also got the upstarts. Kentucky plays on Thursday as well, the defending national champ, your number one seed in Gonzaga. So there's a lot to look forward to. And we will be back here tonight and we'll wade through it all with you. But in the meantime, check it out on Twitter and Facebook. We've revealed our Final Four picks. We'll see if any of them get knocked out on Thursday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.